Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 2. The second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 2. Those words in brackets. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And our subject this morning is now is the time. Now is the time. Well, we turn our attentions to these words written by the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, that is, of course, to the believers in a place called Corinth, which is now situated, some of you will know, in modern-day Greece. And I often say you can still visit ancient Corinth and stand in the very place where the Apostle Paul stood. The Apostle Paul established the church in Corinth, and at one point we learn from the book of Acts that he had to stand before the Roman proconsul, a man by the name of Gallio. He was accused of teaching illegal things, and whenever somebody had to stand before the proconsul, they knew exactly where they stood. And so if you go there, you will see the exact place. And I think there's even a plaque with a scripture verse marking the place where the Apostle Paul, the exact place is known, and it is marked and preserved. So this is, of course, a true place, a true church, the church in Corinth. And the Apostle Paul established the church. And when he left Corinth, he, of course, still kept in contact with them by letters. And we have two letters that the Apostle Paul sent to the church in Corinth, preserved for us in the scriptures. Two inspired letters. Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the church in Corinth. And this particular letter, well, both these letters are dated around AD 55. So almost 2,000 years ago now. But of course, when we consider these words and all the words in the Bible, we know that they are still relevant for us. We don't say to ourselves, as some people sadly do say to themselves nowadays, the scriptures, the Bible, they were written so long ago. The New Testament, 2,000 years ago. So these words are outdated. These words are irrelevant. We can ignore these words today because they're so old and they don't apply to us anymore. But they do, of course. They most certainly apply to us. These words are very relevant for us, very relevant for this time, for this place, because this is not the word of men. This is the word of the eternal God. The Apostle Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, it is the word of God. And what the Lord says, well, it will last forever. Remember what the Lord Jesus himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In other words, the word of God is always relevant. It is not the word of man. It is relevant for every time, every place. It is relevant for us this morning. So this is the attitude with which we come to the word of God. And this morning, we specifically consider those words in verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. These wonderful words, speaking of acceptance and salvation. Now, these words are actually taken from the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul is quoting from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah 49, verse 8, which reads, thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. That's what the prophet Isaiah wrote 700 years before the Apostle Paul. And the Lord in that passage is speaking of the gospel age. So this is why the Apostle Paul is mentioning these words here, because when we read them in the book of Isaiah, it is being applied. The Lord is speaking ultimately of the gospel age. That's what Isaiah is speaking of. And in the gospel age, that will be the time of acceptance. That will be the day of salvation. And we are living in the gospel age. The gospel age, of course, is the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. We do not know when the Lord will return, but in between that time, that is the gospel age. And the gospel age is the day of salvation. It is the time of salvation. And this is what we preach. This is the great message of the gospel. This is a time of acceptance with God. This is a day of salvation. But we also preach, of course, that now is the day of salvation. You must turn to the Lord now. You must choose him now. You must come without delay. This is what we are always preaching. This is what I am always preaching. If you want to come to the Lord, come now. But of course, so many people do not want to come now. When we make this plea, this exhortation, it will so often fall on deaf ears, particularly in this society in which we live nowadays. People do not want to come to the Lord now. By nature, this is how we are as people, as man. We don't want to come now. We want to put it off. We hear the gospel. We hear all the wonderful things. We might like what we hear, but so often people will say, not now. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to wait until later. People want to delay it. You hear very often young people, perhaps the young people here, they will say, yes, I like the Lord, but really I'll come when I'm older, when I'm much older, maybe when I'm an old man or an old woman, maybe 80, 70 years old, then I'll come truly to know the Lord. But Pastor, I can't come now. I won't come now. And this is the way so many people behave. This is how so many people react to the gospel. They don't want to come now. That's the attitude of people. And that, by the way, of course, just to make the contrast, that's very different to the attitude that people have towards almost everything else. Towards almost everything else. Everything else in this world, we want now, don't we? We live in a world, particularly again in the modern time, we live in a world where everybody is so impatient. People never want to wait. And you notice this even in everyday situations. You go to the bus stop or you go to a tube stop and you see there's 5 minutes. People think that's too long. They don't want to wait 5 minutes. They want the bus to come now. Why isn't it coming now? We're not going to wait that time, just 5 minutes. You see it in the world around you, in the media. Well, sports team, if you are a sports fan, a manager takes over a football team. How soon do the fans want success? They want it now. They don't want to wait. Give us success now. Give us a winning team now. Everything else in the world, we want it now, don't we? All of these things, when you order something, let me give you another example just to make the point very clear. When we order something, well, same day delivery is very popular nowadays. We can't wait 1 day or 2 days. I order it on Amazon. I want it now. Everything else in the entire world, we want now, except the things of God. The things of God, the gospel, well, that can wait. That can come late. I'm going to delay it, Pastor. Everything else. You see the contrast? You see the nature, the fallen nature of man. This is so sad, of course, because this is the greatest thing you could ever know, you can ever possess. When you know the Lord, well, I say these things often, but some of us forget it so often. When you know the Lord, you know true joy. True joy, higher joys than this world can ever give you. The joys of this world are so fleeting, so temporary. Christ gives you permanent joy. Joy in your heart gives you peace. Peace within yourself. Peace that no man can take away from you. Even if you are in a very difficult situation, even if things at work are so hard, things in your life are so hard, Christ gives you peace. You have peace within. You can't get it anywhere else. Why would you wait for that? You have spiritual life. You have wisdom that comes from on high. You understand why the world is as it is, why men are as they are. You understand the word of God. You never understood it before. You didn't understand the Bible. Now you know these things. This is wonderful. And you know God, of course. You know God himself. God is your guide. God is the greatest guide you could ever have. The God who knows everything. What is going to happen in the future? He knows all about your past. He knows you better than anyone else. He's better than any earthly guide. Why do you not want him? And he is your greatest friend, of course. He knows you personally. You can pray to him, cast all your cares before him. You can see answers to your prayers that you never knew you would see. Dear friends, this is the greatest thing you can have, far greater than anything you can order on Amazon. And yet people want to delay this. I don't want God now. I want to delay it. Maybe later, Pastor. This is so foolish that people want trivial things, temporary things, now, even harmful things. Let me go on to say this. Things that harm us we want now, things that are sinful. Sinful things we want now. You know, when we are tempted to sin, let me make this point. We've all been tempted to sin. We all know what it is to be tempted. How does temptation work? How does the devil tempt us? Well, this is one of the ways in which he tempts us. He tempts us to sin now. Sin now. Sin immediately. Don't stop to think about it. That's what the devil does. This is how Satan tempts us. Sin now. Don't stop to think about it. Don't stop to reflect on what you're actually doing. Don't stop to think about the consequences. Sin now. That's how Satan tempts us. Sin immediately. Just do it now. Satan, if I can put it another way, Satan always likes to rush you. He always likes to rush you into doing things. Go ahead. Indulge yourself now. Why would you wait? And man is so weak, of course, aren't we? We are so weak. We so easily fall to temptation. And we have to suffer the regret and the consequences. Dear friends, I'm trying to point out to you our fallen nature. This is the fallen nature of man. We can't wait to sin. We can wait to come to Christ. We can wait to come to Christ. We can delay that, but we can't wait to sin. And Satan has that power over us. Dear friends, is that you? Is that your state? That is so sad. That's so tragic. We are a fallen human race. Or perhaps you're like this. There are some people, of course, who will tell you they only live for the here and now. I've spoken to many people like that. I only live for the here and now. They live for the moment, for the now. They forget about the past. They say to you, well, I forget about the past because, you know, you can't change the past. What's gone is gone. And that's how they live. And they don't worry about the future either. They say to you, you know, what will be, que sera, sera. They don't worry about the past. What is gone is gone. I don't worry about the future. You meet people like this. They live just for the here and now. And in fact, there was a very popular book published not so long ago, The Power of Now. I don't know if you've read it. Some of you perhaps. But this philosopher, he was saying, you know, this is the way to happiness and peace. Now, just live in the now. Forget about the past. Forget about the future. You want to be at peace? Just live in the now. That was a popular secular book. And this is how so many people live, the modern age, the new age. Just live for the now. What does the Bible teach us? What does this book teach us? Well, it teaches us you can't ignore the past or the future. You can't ignore the past, most certainly not all the things you've done in the past. Of course, we would all like to forget the past. We'd like to forget some of the things that have happened, the regrets of the past, the mistakes of the past, the sins of the past. But you can't. The Bible says, no, you can't ignore that. You can't ignore these things. They're all there anyway. In your conscience, your own conscience won't allow you to forget the past or ignore the past. It's always there. It reminds you of the past and all the things that you have done, all the sins that you have committed. But then the Bible teaches us that you can't ignore the future either. You can't ignore the past, all the things that you have done, but you can't ignore the future either, because, dear friends, we have to meet with God. That is the future of every single one of us. And when we meet with God, the appointment we cannot cancel, when we meet with God in the future, we have to give an account of the lives that we have lived. We have to explain our past to the Lord, what you have done, all the sins that you have committed in the past, in your life. So this is what the Bible teaches us. You can't ignore the past, because in the future you will have to answer to God about your past. So the past and the future, they are so very important. But what the Bible says is this: you can do something now. You can do something now that will blot out the sins of the past and remove that fear of meeting God in the future. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the correct way. So you don't ignore the past. You don't ignore the future. There is something you can do now. Something you can do now, and that is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sins of the past, the sins of your whole life, in fact, they are removed from you. They are no longer on your account. They are washed away by the blood of Christ. That's where your sins go. They are washed away by the blood of Christ, by Christ's death, in other words. All of your sins are taken from you. All the sins of your life, they are placed upon Christ. That's why he died. Christ was taking the punishment for your sin. All the sins that you have committed, Christ has paid the price. He has made atonement. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then we have no fear for the future. We have no fear in meeting God, no fear at all, because we know that Christ has already paid for my sins in the past, in my life. He has been condemned already for me. He's paid the price. So now there is no fear for me in the future. But it's because of something you do now. It's because you believe in the Lord Jesus now. So this is why we have here, which in these words which I've neglected, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This is the only way you can be accepted by God, in other words. Without Christ, you cannot be accepted. But in Christ, you can be accepted, because Christ paid the price for your sins. The past cannot hurt you any longer, and the fear of the future is gone, dear friends. This is the message of the Bible. But how do you come now? I have to mention this before we finish. How do you come now? Maybe some of you are thinking, how can I come? Do I have to come to the front of the church after the message? Sometimes you will see this in churches. They will preach, much like I've done. They will say, you have to come now. And then at the end of the message, they will very often call people to come to the front of the church. You have to come now. So come to the front of the church. That is known as the altar call, and people will come immediately to the front of the church. Now, I know that sometimes some people, even here, have been at services like this, and perhaps it's even helped them in some way. It's been the start of their spiritual journey. But it is actually slightly misleading, because when you come to Christ, it's not just about you physically coming to the front of the church because the pastor tells you to. It's not about you physically coming. It's about you bringing your heart to the Lord, your heart to the Lord Jesus, your heart to the foot of the cross. It's not about your body, you bringing your body to the front of the church. It's about you bringing your heart to the foot of the cross. I fear that many times when the altar call is made, people's hearts are not changed. That yes, they're bringing their body to the front of the church because the pastor says, but what about their hearts? That's what makes all the difference. You bring your heart to the Lord, and you see in Christ your salvation. Christ has died for me. Dear friends, you must bring your heart. Now, somebody may make this objection again. Let me answer this. Pastor, you said I have to come now, but you also say my heart needs to be changed. Isn't God the only one who can change my heart? So how can I do both? You say I have to come now, but it's only God who can change my heart. Well, then how does that work? Well, dear friends, this is how it works. It's very simple. You come to the Lord and you ask him, you pray to God, Lord, change my heart. And you pray it now. You pray it now. You don't wait. You say to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I have that fear. I am scared of meeting God at the very end of my life. Start praying now. Lord, change my heart. Change it sincerely. Change it completely, that I may love thee completely and wholly. Dear friends, this is how it works. It's like knocking on a door. Let me give you an illustration. Knocking on a door. When you knock on a door, what are you saying? You're saying you want to come in now. I want to come in now. Now, you may have to wait until the door is opened. The person inside may not come immediately. You have to wait, but you're still saying, let me in now. That's how you come to God. You keep knocking, praying, seeking, reading the word of God. I want to come now. And when the Lord sees your faith, when he sees your sincerity, the door will be opened. So, dear friends, this is how it works. There's no contradiction at all. And this is the glorious gospel of grace. One final thing to say, and then we're through. One final thing, and I say this very often, which is why I've left it to the last. It is so very foolish to delay. If there's anybody here still saying to themselves, I'm going to delay it, I'm going to put it off. How very foolish, because you don't know how long you have left in your life. How often I say this. We all, of course, pray that you have very long lives. But dear friends, it could all be over in just a few moments. There was an incident just outside this church on Barry Road during the week. A lady, a 23-year-old, not an old lady, hit by a car. Now, I believe that she is okay at the moment, but just for those few moments, her life would have flashed before her. It could have been so very different. Her life could have been ended. Dear friends, it's the same for us. We simply do not know how long we have left. Don't be complacent. Don't say, I'm going to come when I'm 70. You may not get to 70. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that you may come, that you must come. Seek the Lord now. And of course, we never know when the Lord will return. And again, I say this very often, but just in case you've forgotten, when the Lord comes back, when we see him coming on the clouds with the holy angels, it will be too late for you to repent, to have faith, Don't say it's only when he comes, then I'll suddenly pretend I'm a Christian. No, that is the day of judgment. That's the day of judgment. Now is the day of salvation. Don't be deceived or be mistaken about these things. That's the day of judgment when he comes again, his second coming. Now is the day of salvation. You cannot wait, dear friends. You cannot delay it. Because then you will have to answer to the Lord. Dear friends, come now. You must be saved now. And then there is no fear for you, for the future. You come now, you will know the Lord, you will know him, you will know him as your greatest friend. There's nothing to fear. You will know his love in your heart. And in fact, you will be praying, as so many of us do, all of us do, all the church. In the scriptures, it is said, all the church prays this, Lord, come now. Lord, come quickly. That's the prayer of the church. We don't want to wait any longer. We can't wait. Lord, this is a sinful world. We see all the chaos. We see all the sin. Lord, come quickly. We want him to come now. That's what you'll be saying. There won't be any fear any longer. No delay. Come and bless us. Make no tarrying. Oh my God, that will be your prayer and your cry. You will desire Christ. You will want to see him and live and reign with him forevermore. So these are the meanings. This is the meaning of these words. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come, dear friends, pray to him. If you knock, the door shall be opened. The Lord will bless you eternally.